Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yes. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody know?
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. My name's Christy Matthews, and it's Sunday, January the 28th. How are you guys doing today?
We have a good afternoon.
Howdy.
Hello, hello.
We're having a lot. It's just one of those days.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't click all the way. So.
Well, we're broadcasting here from the KCNR studios here in Redding, California. And you can find us on KCNR1460.com. And you can also find a copy of today's shows and previous shows right here on KCNR. So, and... we have Christina producing.
Good afternoon.
Calming
good
all afternoon. Of us down after that exciting rush into the studio. Yeah.
You got 10 seconds.
I am actually trying to push everybody today. Just a crazy Sunday.
Go, it is go, a crazy go. Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
A spicy Sunday, I can say. And the first sunny day.
Spicy.
Well, we have Linda Kent here as
good
usual.
Afternoon.
And we have, and we love to just welcome Elizabeth and Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys.
We'll be here permanently happy from here on out.
So indeed. Good to be
hello,
here.
Say hello, you guys.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So glad to have him back in the studio.
You bet.
We're going to have him for a while, so that's a good thing.
Indeed. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the chat room's open if you'd like to chat with any of us or Christina at KCNR1460.com. And you can find us on X at Tokens Radio Show. So welcome again, you guys. We're looking forward to having a great time moving forward here.
We're going to have spicy conversations.
Yes, indeed. So here's a quick market update and then a word from our sponsor, okay? So Bitcoin's at 41,886. IBIT beat Bitcoin ETF is sitting at $24.99. Ethereum's at $22.60. XRP is at 52 cents. And XLM is at $11.37. That's 11 cents. Not $11.37.
11 big ones
there.
Sorry,
I misread that, but yes.
Okay. Queen of Dragons sponsors today's show. The Queen of Dragons is known for competitive prices, a diverse range of quality products that pass rigorous testing, and knowledgeable and caring staff. They're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X or contact them at 530-276-9771. And I guess they have Pinnacle back in the store by demand.
That's a very popular brand. And,
Pinnacle?
They're local based. And they came back by popular demand. And so,
that's a good thing. So if you want to check it out.
So if you're a Pinnacle fan, go to Queen of Dragons.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. So if you'd like to join in our conversation, give the station a call at 530-605-4567. Or hit us up in the chat at KCNR1460.com. And we'd like to introduce Elizabeth officially. Hello. And she's going to want to talk about, what is it, Gridless and in Africa, what they're doing there. We touched a little bit on that last weekend.
Yeah, this kind of brings it forward a little bit more, what we were touching on with the mining. And
this is so cool. And so... just think about the possibilities of this being done a little bit more close to home.
I definitely wanted to follow up on the conversation from last week. And the more I myself learn about mining, I'm just so excited to share it with others. And so Alex Gladstein, he works over at the Human Rights Foundation. He recently came out with an article that's called Expanding financial freedom in Africa with Bitcoin, and it's done by monetizing stranded energy, financing electrical infrastructure, and empowering millions. And as many of us know, two like main issues in Africa are the lack of electricity, which 600 million people are currently undergoing, and the lack of a high-quality currency. So you can already just start to think, if they don't have electricity, how many people are actually on online? So there's a limitation there. And then another thing has been, because we could say, okay, let's just get them all solar panels, but there hasn't been an incentive for investors and governments until now, or it's too expensive. Like governments, they would even try to make a deal with power plants or electrical plants and say, fine, even if it's not being used, we'll pay that up front. But that's, you know, that's just wasted money. And it's funny because in the U.S. we always hear like Bitcoin is like bad for the environment, right, and it's wasting energy. But now we're seeing that they're going to be pretty much like the first buyers and just assistance in helping Africa to like leap forward and get electricity. And even what you were saying with Gridless, they're a company that's coming out and helping to make like small electrical plants that are already coming in with Bitcoin miners. Right. So there's like hand in hand there. And what I love about that is we're talking about, is that they're just like little decentralized electrical plants, which is great. Even in the U.S., we have three grids, the East Coast, the West Coast, and Texas, and they're a mess and they're falling apart. And it's really hard to then just try to make the one work. Rather, if we can just manage smaller ones more effectively, they're going to be more reliable in the long run. And really, it's just been so, I guess, encouraging to see how Bitcoin allows the plants to run at least at like 80% capacity, if not full capacity, which then gives the plants money to go and expand and buy cabling and wiring and get other homes on there. Because otherwise, without Bitcoin, they can't do that. They can't expand. They can't take loans. So that's just some things that I found really cool about it.
Well, if I was reading this correctly, it seems that Gridless would come in as the buyer of last resort, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if there were no other investors for infrastructure, they would be able to come in, and then they would buy whatever stranded power and give a guarantee on buying that power source so that it will run these small villages and towns in Africa, which is really cool because they have so many vast resources, but they're not able to put them into a proper infrastructure that is reliable.
Right. Africa's been treated like a banana republic of France for years.
It sure has.
When you have somebody like Mr. Beast that goes in and drills more freshwater wells than any government or any other philanthropic. Can't speak today, guys. I'm tongue twisted.
See, I'm telling you, this is what about today.
It's too much spice. Anyway, this would help. Yeah, this kind of plan would actually help with basic stuff like fresh water as well, because it would bring economic incentive into the area. So there's a lot more riding on it than just, hey, people are going to make money, but it's going to actually help humanity over in Africa.
And I want to bring it kind of home. You touched upon something.
Yeah.
They're making like little areas all over. Stop and think about our grid here.
Mm-hmm.
We're so overloaded now.
Yes.
That if we were able to do that and have different little power stations that are decentralized, wow.
For sure.
How that could help us out in many ways. And then we could still do the Bitcoin mining on top of it.
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the future, and we'll see more of that. Right now, it kind of seems like, oh, that's something that's new, but it's just kind of maybe even going back to simpler ways and things that work more efficiently. And something else I love that the article said, it's for hundreds and millions of people in Africa, it's like it's no longer going to be the United Nations or the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
No more guinea pigs, right?
Or things like that. But simple things like Bitcoin adoption, that's not only just solving an energy crisis, but a currency, bigger issue too. So it's like two birds with one stone.
How long have we heard the refrain? You hear people in go and be interviewed in Africa, and give me one word. What does Bitcoin mean to you? And how many times do you hear
freedom?
Yeah. Yes. Freedom, baby.
Freedom, baby. Absolutely.
Yeah, and even with the people that are selling the power and things, now they're having the opportunity to be paid in sats. And in Africa, you might say, well, they need internet. And no, they figured out a way to do it with like a basic phone and things. And then they can decide if they want to switch it back or maintain it in a currency that's not being inflated. And really allowing them to rise past, well, I have to have the currency of the country I was born in. And it's like the glitch in the matrix. So really cool stuff.
Yeah. And you mentioned cellular usage. Mm-hmm. I think they're using like 3G, aren't they? I mean, it's like,
wow,
not even technology so we have anymore.
Yeah, some of their phones don't even have like that data capacity. So, yeah.
Yeah, but they can put on a simple wallet and they can stack sats and they can transact on that. Yeah, so I think that's great. What about this B-Trust Builders? What about them? They're an organization that are helping, was it developers contribute to the Bitcoin infrastructure? Oh, okay. Yeah, so they're helping with some of these local applications that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of, well, somebody else said it's like El Salvador in 2019 over there, but kind of just make these meetups and get all these people together that are kind of just like fed up with the things that have happened or now have been MIT educated or things like that, and coming together to say, okay, these are the obstacles and we can solve it through just open source, different software and things. So, yeah, I think we can look out for more groups or coalitions or things like that rising in Africa.
Mm-hmm. What an amazing way to increase the standard of living.
I was just going to say, talk about slaves, basically, the people that are in the mines, they are enslaved over there. Mm-hmm. How this, going back to the freedom piece, how that can open that up so much for those people and the children that are caught up in that whole scenario right now. It could be a matter of life and death difference.
Yeah.
And with that slavery, a point I wanted to even bring up is there's no reason for this, but 80% of all inter-African payments are processed through European or American countries. So it's like they're being so colonized there.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we're helping. It's like, no, there's no need for all this traveling and approvals there when we can really have peer-to-peer transactions with electricity.
It's probably important to note, too, that on those transactions, they're being overcharged considerably as well.
Sure. Yeah, tribute taxes, et cetera. They're making a killing on them processing.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they have so much natural resources. Mm-hmm. They have geothermal. They have hydro, biomass. I mean, it's just
sun.
They have many ways to utilize wasted energy.
For sure.
It's just incredible. Yeah. Kind of sounds a little bit like around here, doesn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're snowballed into thinking that we're wasting energy when in actuality we're not even scratching the surface on the energy that we could actually harness.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, so we're not wasting it at all. We've thumbed the nose at it because we have so much.
Right.
But here, these folks here, this is a possibility for them. This is going to raise their standards of living and get them out of being under the thumb of the man, so to speak, or of other countries, and rise themselves up as we are continually going downhill.
Yeah.
Going down that rabbit hole.
We're destroying ourselves. We need energy, and we need to utilize and harness it properly in order for humanity to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was wonderful, Elizabeth. Where did you find this article at so that our listeners might be able to go and find it themselves? It's a very long article.
So it was an article put out by Bitcoin Magazine. So if you just type that into a search engine or go to their website, you should be able to find it. And again, it's Expanding Financial Freedom in Africa by Alex Gladstein.
What was the date of the article so they can get to it really quick?
Yes, it was released on January 24th.
Awesome.
So it's recent,
folks.
Yeah,
hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
You're probably going to need a good 40 minutes to read it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great food for thought. Yeah.
It's a great article.
You can always divide it up, you know?
Yeah.
So, but great piece.
Yeah, indeed.
It is. Yeah. Well, and we wanted to have a little discussion here about the Bitcoin ETFs. What's going on with those?
Drum roll, please.
Yes. I'm actually pretty excited about the ETFs. The way I see it is the SEC legalizing the ETFs. I know you guys have touched on this in the last couple of shows, but in my estimation, this really legitimizes Bitcoin in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of Wall Street, in the eyes of the finance world as we know it, TradFi. So it's an exciting step for Bitcoin. There's a lot of counter narratives about how it could be bad, which is true. I mean, we don't know. We can't predict the future. But I like to keep my ear to the ground. What's going on now? Since these ETFs have launched, there's been 5 billion inflows. Any of the, well, let's just say most of the outflows have been people jumping from the sinking ship that is GBTC. GBTC is Grayscale Digital Currency Group fund that held just a bunch of Bitcoin, charged 2% to the holders of that fund, and then when they launched their ETF, they jacked their rates to 1.5%, so I guess they lowered them 0.5%. However, all the others are either 0% for a fixed amount or 0.25 or extremely lower than 1.5. Not only were people discouraged to stay with GBTC, but they also saw a lot of sketchy things that the GBTC and Barry, who was managing the place, did throughout the year. So there's a little bit going on there, and that's why we've seen incredible outflows. I think they started with just under 200,000 or Bitcoin, and they've been just bleeding them pretty much since the ETF. Yeah. I think last Friday was the least amount they bled during the whole time. The bleed will probably decrease, but I expect the bleed to continue probably for a year or so. But the good news is that any of the selling going on in GBTC has been more than countered by the other ETFs. So I keep my ear to the ground and listen to what people are saying on both sides of the aisle. A one-liner from J.P. Morgan was, the ETF launch is a failure. Kramer said, nobody showed up.
Jeez, Kramer. You lost me at Kramer.
I'm not saying I agree with these things. Peter Schiff, I don't know if we got any gold bugs.
Another one.
Gold bugs out there. But he's, his quote is, another disaster. I'm not even
like
going to read that
to
one.
I was going to say, we're buying in the back room.
Yeah, what a lot of these people don't know, and it's obvious that they haven't done a deep dive on an asset class that has a finite supply. We're about to see a real supply shock and things going hyperbolic. So a lot of people don't understand what true supply shock will mean. And we could, people are throwing numbers out like, oh, Bitcoin could hit this. It really could hit an infinite amount where people are saying, no, this is priceless asset or commodity because we don't want to sell it. So we may hit a point where it really becomes hard to value it, just like you would value a Mona Lisa or something, because it's such a finite quantity that you know, if you hold it, there's no way you want to let it go. So on a positive note, like I mentioned before, 5 billion since the November 9th release, or excuse me, January 9th release. Anyway, the last 2 weeks of trading. BlackRock is super happy with the launch. Larry Fink is now promoting Bitcoin. It's nice that Grayscale is unloading into this market, because if there was no counterparty for them to, it was inevitable that they would have to liquidate just due to some of their loans they had outstanding and other things. FTX also was selling during that time. Yeah. So that was another big thing that was promoting that. FTX, supposedly has finished their sales, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. And we also have to look forward is the halving in about 80 days. So there's a lot of positives going into this. So I don't know what you guys think, but believe it or not, I'm actually excited about the ETFs.
I just want to kind of roll it back a little bit.
Yeah.
For, you know, there's a lot of our listeners out there that don't understand what an ETF is?
Sure. Yeah.
Or how can I obtain an ETF?
Or even maybe make the distinction, the difference between a Bitcoin and a Bitcoin ETF.
Yes.
Well, the ETFs kind of got their start with gold. So it was really hard to purchase gold back in the day. And, you know, you couldn't – well, you could, but it was super hard. So you'd be like, hey, I want to buy a gold brick. And then what do I do with it? How do I store it? Where do I keep it safe? So they – created a product called an exchange-traded fund, which is what ETF stands for. And I believe gold was the first. It's probably 20 to 30 years back, somewhere in that vicinity. Gold also was, I think it was GLD itself, which is an exchange-traded fund where they will purchase the actual physical gold for you and hold it on your behalf, and you just purchase the ETF. So the same thing is going on here with Bitcoin. So you don't have to hold your own keys. You could just call your broker, or if you do your trading yourself, go on your platform and say, hey, I want 1% allocated to Bitcoin. And one of these, I'm going to call it 8, because Fidelity has one, iBit has one, ARK has one, there's Bitwise. I wouldn't buy from Grayscale if I were you guys, but that's not
my opinion.
It's not financial advice. But anyway, so there's various vehicles where you don't have to go out on a Bitcoin exchange and trade. You can actually just do it through your regular platform. There's about 5 that don't allow you to purchase these Bitcoin ETFs. One is Merrill Edge, because I found that out the hard way. So transferred my funds out of there over to, because you can do this in your 401k plans or your IRAs if you self-manage. Or if you don't do that, you can actually choose on a lot of platforms to manage your own and just request that, say, hey, I want to make my own trades. When Merrill Edge told me, hey, you can't buy this thing, I said, malarkey.
Adios.
BS. Adios. Yeah, I can, because it's my money.
Well, Vanguard's the same way.
Yes, there's a handful that don't allow you to purchase this ETF, but most do. Mm-hmm. So Fidelity does, Charles Schwab does, a bunch allow you to purchase these ETFs on their platforms.
Now, with the ETFs, it's just important to know that if you call up your broker and say, you know, I want to convert that ETF into Bitcoin, that's not going to happen. You do not own the Bitcoin yourself. You own an interest in Bitcoin when you buy an ETF.
Right.
You're
correct.
Not going to be able to say, hey, ship that Bitcoin to me. I'll give you my wallet address and just send it on
yes.
the way.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. That was made clear just within a couple of weeks of the SEC actually approving these things, that they're a cash redemption product, meaning, you know, just what was said, which is I can't just say, hey, I know I own 1 Bitcoin's worth of this ETF, send me my Bitcoin. Because there are some GLD, or I don't know if it's GLD itself, but there are some gold ETFs where technically, I've not heard of people doing this, but technically you could request your gold and they'd have to send your gold. This is not the way it is with this ETF. Actually, I wanted to bring up one more point, which is this ETF launch, actually, when you combine these, is the most successful ETF launch to date. So I don't know why people are condemning it, because it's really the most successful launch ever. So it's quite ridiculous that there's any negative publicity whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, just the differences, is that with an ETF, you still need to call your broker unless you are able to use a 24-hour service and put in a transaction. But it's still going to happen during normal market hours.
Right.
But if you have Bitcoin, direct ownership, there's no fees or middleman except for the actual transaction on the blockchain. It's you can use tax loss harvesting. It's accessible 24/7, and you can use directly as cash worldwide.
For sure. I mean, there's reasons to do it. Like I mentioned, the 401k or your IRA. So if you're, you know, looking at tax implications or still trying to work in the vehicle of an IRA or a 401k and still have access to Bitcoin. This is the golden opportunity to do so.
I'd say so. Yeah.
So can you borrow against it like you can with gold and silver?
I'm not sure exactly right out of the ETF product at this time because it's definitely new, but I wouldn't be surprised within the future that you will be able to in that regard. I know there's other vehicles to do it, but I'm not sure about the actual ETF and borrowing.
All right. That was great.
Yeah. And with that, I guess it's time for us to take a break, and we will, I'm sure we'll pick this conversation up on the other side, or we may go to a different topic. I don't know if we're done with this, but thanks for listening to Tokens Radio Show here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Craft season is open. One Safe Place and Children's Legacy Center are proud to bring you the 37th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed on Saturday, February 3rd at the Shasta District Fairground. It's all-you-can-eat crab and oceans of fun, all while helping provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets are available online at ospshasta.org. Sponsored in part by Sierra Pacific Industries, Redding Rancher Rhea, Professional Exterminator, Tri-County Bank, News Channel 7, Results Radio, Stevens Media Group, and this station. For info, visit ospshasta.org.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years, written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store, Reading, and at the door. The Last 5 Years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hey, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. First up, in divisive votes, Shasta County Supervisor suspended impact fees funding key projects, hoping to spur growth, though critics argue infrastructure is now jeopardized. Supervisors also rejected Senate Bill 2's strict concealed carry limits, citing defending constitutional freedoms, though opponents worried about risks and disregarding state law without consulting unions. Complex issues leave the community at a crossroads over economic gains versus public safety and personal liberties. Through respectful dialogue, shared wisdom, and compromise show the path ahead. Next up, after 4 years of planning, the city of Shasta Lake recently broke ground on Cascade Village, a $36.5 million downtown revitalization project funded publicly and privately. This modern mixed-use complex will feature 49 affordable housing units representing a reimagined future for this historical community. City Manager Jessica Lugo explained that infrastructure investments like this enable growth, with residents playing a key role in planning the project to benefit the community. Developer K2 aims to encourage further investment and breathe new life along Shasta Dam Boulevard with this transformative development that sets an example for motivating additional projects in Shasta Lake. For our last brief, a public service announcement. The Shasta County Republican Central Committee proudly endorses Daniel Sloan, District 2,
Wynn Carpenter, District 3, and Patrick Jones, District 4, for County Supervisor. These candidates demonstrate Republican principles and dedication to the county's well-being. The committee strongly urges no on the supervisor cry recall and support for Donald Trump. The Shasta County Republican Central Committee encourages all Shasta County voters across the political spectrum to support our endorsed candidates embodying community values and leadership that will contribute to the continued success of our county. The California Rifle and Pistol Association endorses Wynn Carpenter for District 3 Supervisor and Patrick Jones for District 4 Supervisor. Upcoming local election events. Wednesday, January 31st at 6 p.m., League of Women Voters debate for all supervisor candidates at Larry J. Farr Community Center. Candidate Wynn Carpenter, Shasta County Supervisor, District 3, has a town hall meeting scheduled on Friday, February 2nd at 6 p.m. at the Palisadro Grange located at 22037 Old 44 Drive, Palisadro. Candidate Dan Sloan, Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, town halls are scheduled for Sunday, February 4th at the Igo Inn from 4 to 6 p.m. located at 13976 South Fork Road, Igo. On Wednesday, February 7th at 6 p.m. at the French Gulch Hotel located at 14138 Main Street, French Gulch. And on Monday, February 12th at 6 p.m. in the Bonneview area located at 2570 South Bonneview Road in Reading. For additional town hall meeting and event scheduling, visit the candidates' websites. Thank you for listening to your town hall brief this week. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Are back. Well, before we went to break, we were talking about ETFs, but I think maybe we'll shift gears a little bit here. What do you guys
think? Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, do we want to talk about Javier?
Oh,
yes.
Javier.
Oh, Javier. My gosh. He is such a firebrand.
He is.
Well, he came out with a historic 23-minute speech at the World Economic Forum. And quite frankly, I don't even know why they allowed some of these speakers there. But I applaud that for happening because he brought it to them. And he was sharply criticizing socialism and defending capitalism and liberty. And so he had made quite a few arguments. And he was arguing that, first of all, the condition that Argentina has been in because of socialist types of policies. So he argues that capitalism has lifted humanity out of poverty and has created immense prosperity for countries that embrace capitalism, while socialism leads to economic failure, poverty, and loss of freedom, which is pretty much what we're kind of experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. And he condemns social justice as something that is happening quite a bit in Argentina, and it's unjust, it's antisocial, it's reliant on the threat of violence through taxation. And it reduces incentives to be productive. I mean, why on earth would you want to be productive if, you know, everybody gets the same thing, right? And
paychecks.
Yeah, and, I was going to say something snarky, but I'm not going to.
But back to them allowing him to speak because he just slapped him.
Oh,
yeah.
He was.
I wanted to go back to that, too, because it's obvious they didn't get to see that speech beforehand,
right.
Or I don't think they would have let him. Because I believe that old Klaus Schwab himself introduced Milei.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have a little cut here if we can get a little taste of this.
Okay, let's get a taste.
We've got three cuts from this.
Slapping.
Yes, we have three cuts from the 23-minute speech.
Down.
So here we go. Cut one.
Thank you very much. Today I am present to inform you that the Western world is facing a significant threat. It is in danger because those who are supposed to defend the values of the Western world are co-opted by a worldview that inevitably leads to socialism and consequently to poverty and economic deprivation. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-intentioned desires to help others and others by the desire to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We are here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world, but rather they are their cause. The conclusion is obvious. Far from being the cause of our problems, free market capitalism as an economic system is the only tool we have to end hunger, poverty, and destitution throughout the...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't...
Talk 100%. About the truth.
That was the warm-up line.
Yeah. That is so much the truth. If people could listen to that even right here in our backyard and realize what he is saying.
For sure.
And where we're headed. If you
where
don't realize
at.
Where we're at.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Freedom is a delusion at times here when you have everything that is highly manipulated by entities and institutions like the Federal Reserve. You know, where there's no chance for the free market to reveal itself. When you have companies and individuals who continually get bailed out at top levels, that's not a free market, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not.
And these are the things that Javier is talking about in this speech.
You know, it's what's interesting, too, is that if people take a step back when he was running as president, they didn't take him serious.
For sure.
You know, he had the wild hair and
the chainsaw.
And so he comes, the chainsaw was.
Yeah, he still has the wild hair and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
But it was toned down for the world economic. It was.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
It looked like he had that.
It's Euro.
He ran a brush through his hair a little bit or
it's
something.
Euro sexy.
It wasn't like, it wasn't like balloon hair with Boris Johnson, you know, that kind of thing. But,
And I just love that Argentina is kind of the country that's sending out this message because people forget they were once one of the most developed countries in the world.
One of the richest.
Random country that was always the world or something like that. And just everything he represents to the people and hope. And even flying over to Davos, they flew commercial.
That's right.
You know,
and
just taking pictures with people. And it's like you're just kind of putting your money where your mouth is.
That's right.
Yeah, he kind of walks the walk, you know.
He does.
Well, he went on the way and said, you know, market failures just don't exist unless they're manufactured. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our own economy, it seems as though we have a catastrophic economic event now like every 10 years where we used to have them, you know, much farther spread out. Yes. And
boy, if you got somebody cooking it up in the back row, you know,
printing it up.
So this is what he has to say about that. So. Here we go.
Market failures do not exist. In other words, each time you want to correct a presumed market failure, inevitably, due to not knowing the market or because you have become attached to a failed model, you are opening doors to socialism and condemning people to poverty. The solution that collectivists will propose is not greater freedom, but greater regulation, generating a downward spiral of regulations until we all become poorer and the lives of all of us depend on a bureaucrat sitting in a luxury office. Neo-Marxists have managed to co-opt the common sense of the Western world. They achieved this through the appropriation of the media, culture, universities, and yes, even international organizations. The final case is very serious, as it involves institutions with huge influence on the political and economic decisions of the countries in these multilateral organizations.
That's music to my ears. I mean, this is exactly what we're experiencing.
We see
it in every front.
Yeah.
Truth. It's hard to get truth. All that we hear, well, 90%+ of what we hear is a narrative. And it's extremely difficult to find actual truths. Because like he said, these institutions have been obfuscated. A classic example is traditional media. You know, and it is about misaligned incentives. It is about greed at the top. It is about the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve, calling the shots when it comes to your value and my value. So it's insane, and he's hitting it right on the head.
Truth bombs. And like we've talked a lot before, this kind of brings to for me the parallel economy into play here.
For sure.
You know, that we have to develop this because otherwise we won't have anything.
That's correct.
And you got to realize, they're saying, I mean, look at Mark Zuckerberg. You know, he's got this big cattle ranch now.
Do we
over
have to look at Mark
well,
Zuckerberg?
I mean, no, you don't have to look, but you got to watch what he does.
Yeah. Hawaii,
over
yeah.
in Hawaii, you know, and he's got all these cows and everything, and those cows, you know, are fine.
Yeah,
they don't produce any
they
gas.
They drink beer and eat macadamia nuts.
That's right. But your cows, Lauren and Elizabeth, you know, over here,
they're bad.
They're bad. They have gas and everything.
Right.
So we need to take your cows.
We're destroying the environment with your cows.
Yeah, we love to say rules for thee.
But
not for me.
There you go. Yeah, a couple words that he brought up, too, is collectivism. How many times have we heard that come out, roll out of the mouth of Elizabeth Warren?
Mm-hmm.
And the increased regulations, it takes me back to the Obama years where he actually had a regulation czar. Do you remember a guy named Cass Sunstein?
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
he was just churning out regulations. I think it was like
6,000, 7,000
regulations in 4 years. It was incredible.
Right.
And when Trump came in, he had a, you know, take away two for every one that they would replace. It was just incredible.
But if
how suppressing that was.
Yeah. But if you look like here in California, you are regulated. You tell me something you can do that you're not being regulated
on. Oh, my gosh, yeah. It goes back to your parallel economy, too, where it's like, hey, and enter Bitcoin. I know in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, my home country, Ben Sessions started a little market, and I think he's going to be doing his second one here probably this month, where people are just getting together and trading their goods and whatnot and services and products. And he had a huge showing. And Bitcoin is the main exchange of value they're using.
Nice.
So Bitcoin can actually really help offset and create and help out these parallel markets that you're speaking of. So it's like, you know, we were talking about that with the Beef Initiative and other things where it's like, hey, guess what? If this system gets super crazy, which we're definitely heading that direction, and you can't do anything because of the regulations that you're talking about, or, you know, Uncle Sam coming and tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, I want my percentage, and you have to jump through these five hoops, and in a lot of cases just shutting you down totally,
mm-hmm.
we can just go around that and go, guess what? We're going to just deal with each other outside of the system, set up our own system, you know, use something like Bitcoin or even just trading straight across for goods and services and just say, you know,
there's no way for them to know that we're doing it with Bitcoin.
For
really.
Sure. Yep.
They can't track us.
Right.
Malay went on to say that, well, guess what, folks? The West has already embraced socialism.
Right.
And this is what he has to say about that. It's interesting. Something we need to listen to.
To many, it may sound ridiculous to suggest that the West has embraced socialism, but this view is only ridiculous if one limits themselves to the traditional economic definition of socialism, which states that it is an economic system where the state owns the means of production. In my opinion, this definition needs to be updated to reflect the current circumstances from my perspective. Today, states don't need to control means of production to control every aspect of individuals' life. With tools such as monetary issuance, debt, subsidies, interest rate control, price controls, and regulations to correct alleged market failures, they can control the destinies of millions of human beings. This is how we have reached the point where, with different names or forms, good parts of the politically accepted offers in most Western countries are generally collectivist variants. Whether they openly declare themselves as communists, fascists, Nazis, socialists, social democrats, national socialists, Christian democrats, Keynesians, neo-Keynesians, progressives, populists, nationalists, or globalists. In the end, there are no substantive differences. Everyone argues that the state should control all aspects of individuals' lives. All define a model contrary to the one that led humanity to the most spectacular progress in its history.
Oh, my. Wow. What a mouthful there.
Them was fighting words.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. He even had a tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to finish out his speech. He went on to argue the importance of fighting loudly in a culture war for liberty and capitalism against demands for gender ideology, relativism, centralization, and atheism, which is... Look at our kids today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what their existence is.
Right.
I mean, and they don't have anything to look forward to. They don't have faith, maybe, a faith to look forward to, because it's not promoted. It's not allowed.
Yeah, there's a war on the kids.
Absolutely,
sure.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and they're getting mixed signals.
They sure are.
You know, you have nature that tells your body and your mind certain things, and then you've got people over here telling their mind and body isn't right, and, you know, it needs to think this way, so let us help you.
Yep. Yeah. Super confusing.
Yeah, it's almost like they've switched freedom and oppression, where it's like, no, now faith is oppressing, or but cutting your genitals, that's going to be freeing. Yeah. So it's quite confusing for the kids. Yeah.
We have, I think there's something I want to just stress. I'll say it week after week after week, which is misaligned incentives. Mm-hmm. It really boils down to misaligned incentives.
Yep.
And when we realign those incentives to love and good and positive and what is in the best interest of mankind, what is in the best interest of you, your children, the people that are going to live on planet Earth 1,000 years after we're gone, we're all products of this. We have all been brainwashed into just consumerism, what counts during my lifetime, the here and the now, the really, what is the word when they're talking about time?
Time preference?
Yes, your time preference. Yeah. We need to extend that out and actually go back to a place of love and a place of what is this life all about? And right now, it is the people at the top that are calling the shots. Mm-hmm. They don't give a crap about any of this stuff. They only care about themselves in the here and the now and power and control. And that all needs to change. And I think that one of the things Millay was pointing to in that is he didn't really have a solution. But in my estimation, one of the best things that I've seen is to try to get the monetary units of under control again, because the number one way that they're doing this is via controlling the money. And if we can fix the money, I believe a lot of these things will be fixed. I mean, we can say, hey, it's FUD. They're using fear. They're using division. We've thrown race back in things again. We've got wars. And a lot of these things are extremely hyped, and I believe they're done on purpose to control the masses.
Right.
And if we can focus on what we all have in common instead of like, oh, you have a different colored whatever, eyes or shoes or, you know, whatever it is that they're using to scare you or divide you, if we can forget all that, it's kind of like a relationship. It's like if you're constantly focusing on all the negative about your partner or your friend, you're going to find a bunch of negative things, and then you're going to dwell on that stuff. But when we focus on the good and the positive, we're going to have a much better outcome.
That could be a sermon right there.
Yeah.
Let's all bow our heads for prayer.
And it's a good versus evil.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? They're the two forces that
absolutely
are constantly butting heads and have been from the beginning of time.
For sure. And one of the things that we're unable to do is we're so busy on our rat race, on our hamster wheel, that we don't even have the time to stop, separate ourselves out, and actually ponder these things
as
a society.
That's true.
They don't want us to, because they don't want us to think about, hey, there's more to this walk of life, this little pinprick in the grand scheme of space and time, than just, oh, I want to Lamborghini and I want to go to the Florida Keys. Like, there's more to life than consumerism and want. But you're stuck on their rat race in their hamster wheel, and they don't want you to think about these things.
Yeah, you're not supposed to think yourself.
Look how many people are scheduled to the minute. I mean, they're constantly on the go, and they look run down. They're exhausted all the time.
They don't ever have enough time.
Yeah,
exactly. For sure.
You might find them driving on the wrong side of the street or whatever because they're in such a big hurry.
But at the same time, you know, their priorities, a lot of people's priorities are not in line because the kids have got to be in soccer and basketball and I've got to be, you know, keep up with the Joneses and he bought a Cadillac, I've got to have a Lamborghini.
Right.
And they get caught up in that, and they need to put that aside.
Right.
You stop and look at a lot of young families. That's what's keeping them going constantly. Mm-hmm.
For sure. All of these things point to value.
Right.
And value, they say time is money. Most people don't understand what money is.
Mm-hmm.
Money is what you deem value, what you deem the most valuable to you. And for me, it is my time and what I choose to do with that time. And so choosing to do things with my closest people, my family, my friends, my loved ones, would be considered to me the most valuable things in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's tying it into Bitcoin, is when we as a collective will of the people, as Elizabeth has stated a few times, decide that, no, we don't want to be dictated what is value to us by this piece of paper.
Right.
We're going to say, no, we've decided to use a different unit of account for our value.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have to be a large percentage of people. If we can hit 3% of the population of the world, it's game over for this, for what Millay is talking about. For, it's an oppressive system that is squashing humanity, that wants to decrease the population of the world. Mm-hmm. And we can hopefully fix that. And the best tool that I can see at this time is Bitcoin.
Me too.
Yeah, Mike, I agree.
It's the way to recapture your time and your freedom. And so you're not stuck into this debasement, downward spiral that we're in. If you have to rely on your job and fiat currency, Federal Reserve notes, if you will, it's only going to get worse and worse.
For sure.
This homelessness and the stuff that we're seeing is by design. I think in many
ways. Signs of society. It's signs of where we're at. It's a direct reflection of all of these policies that he's pointing to. It's a direct reflection of, hey, we're losing in the West, you know.
Well, and Lauren pointed to it, you know, you can say what your time is, not somebody shoving it down your throat, making your time be a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we sell our time for Federal Reserve notes. Mm-hmm. So it's just how much time is that worth to you?
You know, I always go back to the Hunger Games. You know what I mean?
When in doubt.
I'm sorry, but okay, so you're going to have to get on the treadmill. Yeah. That's the only way that you're going to get anything. Here's your little district, and get on the treadmill and shut up and do as we tell you.
Yep.
This is your time. If you don't spend your time doing this, you're out of luck, according to them.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's no freedom in that. I don't want to do the treadmill.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
There's a better way.
And I want to eat all the cashews out of the bag if I want to eat all the cashews.
The colossal ones at that.
Yes.
Colossal cashews. And you know, this is interesting because we've discussed many of the different reasons to own Bitcoin. And this is like the, you know, freedom, sovereignty, a revolution. When we were discussing, you know, SEC stuff, it was more like speculation, like, hey, I want number to go up. I want to make money. And all of these are legitimate reasons. And this is just two of, you know, 20-something reasons that I think people should really do the deep dive, get off the couch, whatever you have to do to learn more about this asset class. I would even say, like, from our discussion of the Bitcoin ETFs, even though I'm not a huge fan of just owning just the ETF, it's probably better than nothing at all.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
So I want to just encourage people to jump in because there's not a lot of ways you can change the world. I'm even a little gray on voting after what I've seen in some elections here. So this definitely is vote with your wallet. Vote by opt your value into a finite decentralized network, commonly known as Bitcoin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, it's just, I don't know. A thought here. Has anybody orange pilled anybody lately?
I have.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So actually a temporary roommate that I was having, and she sees I have Bitcoin things all over the house. And I'm now finding more people that I talk to, they have heard about it and we're working through misconceptions. So she told me, well, somebody robbed my son's Bitcoin and now they're not going to send it back. And as she kind of unraveled that a little bit more, I realized that's not what had happened, and just explaining that not your keys, not your coins, but it helps to set Bitcoin up actually in a good light and proper when you show how it should be used correctly. And that once you place it into cold storage, that it's actually unconfiscatable. In that way,
it always comes back
to
the crypto
hygiene
or crypto. Yes. How do you take care of it?
Yep. There's usually more to the story because I've heard that before.
And it turned out the son gave it to somebody else to put on an exchange to trade, and I was like, no, that doesn't really have to do with Bitcoin.
How many times, yeah. I mean, do you go around sharing your bank account and your brokerage account numbers with anybody and your password and secret code?
No.
But gosh, we're so loose with our Bitcoin wallets or our cryptocurrency wallets, yeah. and we have them mm-hmm. hanging out on little fobs, and we have them on our phones, and we lay our phones around. And it's just
yeah. Do you give the guy on the corner your money and say, "Go deposit it in my bank account"?
Exactly.
And with that, we come to the end of the show.
Thanks, guys.
Great having you guys back.
It's good to be here.
Great conversation. Can't wait till next week.
Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. See you later. Week.
Bye-bye.
I don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.